It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. Recently, I recorded an interview with author and radio host Mike LeMay about the slow, creeping demise of truth inside of the American church and really inside the church around the world. Mike is a rising new voice concerning the dangerous direction that evangelicalism has taken as of late, and we're going to use Mike's terrific book, The Suicide of American Christianity. I know that sounds kind of ominous, but that's the title, The Suicide of American Christianity, as a starting point. But my conversation with Mike takes several interesting twists and turns, and I believe it holds some really important points for you and I inside the church to consider. Let me state that I believe Mike's book, it's a stellar, hard-hitting, no-compromise, and well-documented resource. Every one of you need to read it. It is simply must-reading for anyone concerned about the spiritual dilemma facing true Bible-believing Christians in 2013. Now, in the interview, Mike and I outlined some of the perils facing Christian leaders in our churches, and we're going to discuss the growing variety of the soft-shell, easy, partial gospels that have replaced the authentic biblical version in so many places around Christianity. Now, both Mike and I are concerned with the plight and the struggle that pastors face who are intent on presenting the authentic gospel message intact without any preservatives, without any additions or subtractions or additives. And you know, the pastor who tries to stick with the Bible and present the authentic truth is trying to do this in the midst of a church culture conditioned to hear only the feel-good messages that have been drenched in the half-baked love gospel. And really, that's what we've got going on all over Christianity. So we'll get into several of these pertinent points, and that conversation is going to take up the lion's share of our time on the air today. But first, I want to remind you that after about 15 months on the air as a half-hour-a-week broadcast, Take a Stand Radio is now one full hour each week. And of course, you can listen to all the back issues of Take a Stand Radio, all of our older programming, the half-hour version, by going to our website at ericbarger.com and finding the radio archive page. You can listen there. You can download from there. We're also on iTunes and on several other places around the internet. Before we get to the topic today, too, I want to remind you about the other ways you can connect with the ministry. ericbarger.com, that's kind of the brain, if you will, of the way we reach out around the world. ericbarger.com, lots of information there, lots of articles, newsletters, video clips, audio clips, radio programs, you name it, you're going to find it there, as well as information about our ministry and how to bring us into your church or your community. Now, I'm also on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, my YouTube channel, our print newsletter, our email newsletter. These are all ways to stay in touch with us. You can also find our program on iTunes, as I just said, or you can get the RSS feed from our website. I believe, though, the best way to connect with us is to download our mobile app, and you can do that if you have an Android phone or an iPhone or iPod or iPad, and it's a free application. You can download it. You'll get our radio show there. You'll get our newsletters there. You'll find my schedule there, and other pertinent information, updates, prayer alerts, and other things will come through our mobile app to you, and of course, that's all free of charge. Now, first, before we get into the interview with Mike LeMay, in preparing for this program, I just went to YouTube and did a simple search for the phrase, Demise of Christianity. And, you know, I thought that was a fairly simple phrase that we'd be able to find out if there's anything out there that's been done on this particular topic. And the first thing that popped up was a video by a heavy metal group called Bewitched. Now, I didn't know who they were, and many of you know my background. You know where I came from. I was a rock musician. I was a record producer, recording engineer. I was a drug addict, an alcoholic, a New Ager before it was ever called New Age. I'm one of those cases. If God can save me, He can certainly save anybody. But as I looked at this, I thought, you know, it's really in your face today. The picture of the group, just the picture that was attached to this particular video, it's otherworldly beings, some of them with human heads, some of them that kind of look like snakes or even spiders, pyramids in the background, a very ominous looking sky, obviously a satanic figure with horns in the middle. This is kind of the standard fare in some of the heavy metal music. And the YouTube comments, as I looked at the comments underneath this video, now I can't read a lot of it because of the profanity that was in it. But one guy said, yeah, this is what I'm talking about, blank, blank, blank. And then another one says, sick, and I can't even read it, blank, blank, blank. And the next one said, should add the devil's daughter also. That must be one of their songs. Another one says, hail Satan, this is war against Christ. Another one says, hail Satan, rock on, bewitched. I mean, these are comments from young people, I'm assuming. One of these young people, his YouTube name is Disciple666 Slayer. Another one is Blood and Guts Murphy. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, the kind of names people have taken up. I'm looking at some of the other videos that are featured next to this video. Pentagrams on the front cover, all kinds of axes, blood, demonic stuff. I mean, this is what is going on in heavy metal music today, no doubt about that. I'm just going to play a few seconds of this song. Now, I know it's going to be tough for some of you to hear this, but I think you need to hear it. A lot of us, you know, we live in a very controlled circumstance, and we don't walk out of our comfort zones very often. Maybe we're not sure what's happening out there in the world around us. I think you need to hear just a little bit of this that you understand the kind of thing that our young people are listening to. And like I said, this may be tough for some of you to take, but you need to hear just a little bit of this song. This is just the chorus of the song by Bewitched. It's called Rise of the Antichrist. And I'll come back and I'll tell you what the lyrics say in a minute, because most of you will not be able to pick that out. Now, like I said, I knew that would be hard for some of you to handle. I understand if you felt like you had to turn away from the radio right then. It says, burning winds, raging flames of hell, demonic evil is on the rise. I'm here to slay. He's come to reign. Lord of evil, damnation is near. Jehovah weeps as his creation sears. And then what you just heard, the lyrics that we just, well, can you even say they sang it? It says, rise of the Antichrist, the demise of the feeble Christ, rise of the Antichrist, and Jehovah's lies. This should be of great concern to parents and grandparents. And as a grandparent, I'm not concerned that my grandchildren are necessarily going to listen to music like that. But it's the whole culture that they're having to grow up in. Their friends and people around them, the influences around them that are coming their direction. And the very fact that things like this are becoming popularized, that there is money and promotion behind groups that sing this kind of stuff, this shows us where we are concerning timing and Bible prophecy. We are certainly at the end of the end of the end days when this kind of thing becomes popular. You know, I have seen a rock group when I was a recording engineer. I saw them hold up their 2-inch wide 16-track master tape. They came in the recording room into the engineering room, and they asked me for the tape, and I handed the box to them. And they took it out in the studio, and I had a mic open so I could listen to them. I could hear what was going on. And just basically as a joke, that's what they thought anyway. They took in their hands, a number of them, holding this box up, and they said, oh, Satan, bless this tape. I remember watching this. I remember I was creeped out by it. Now, I wasn't a Christian at that point in time, so I'm guessing that's about 35 years ago that took place. But I remember seeing this. Just as an aside, after my wife and I came to Christ, we wrote 3 books on the secular rock music industry and talked about this issue for a long time. In fact, one of those books, the book From Rock to Rock, is still available in some of the used bookstores out on the internet. But this was our full-time ministry for 7 years, dealing with the music industry and how it affects the culture and the family. You know, in the 70s and 80s, the satanic messages were veiled. They were very ethereal. But now, really, it's just Satan opening up the altars with lyrics like this, extolling the coming of the Antichrist and the demise of Jehovah. And what we're going to discuss with Mike LeMay in the interview I recently recorded, it isn't nearly as in your face as the rock group Bewitched, but it's no less deadly and certainly of great concern to Bible-believing Christians. So with that as an introduction to my interview with Mike LeMay, I'll be back later in the program with more news. Okay, on the line with me now is Mike LeMay. He is the station manager of Q90 FM in Green Bay, and I'm on with Mike as a guest often, and now he's my guest today. But he's also an author and really outspoken about the issues that are going on in the church today. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great, Eric. How are you, brother?
Well, doing really good, and really appreciate you being with me. And, you know, we just want to let you just kind of turn you loose and let you just tell us about the different things, the different aspects that are going on around us, the insights you have on them. I want to discuss your book, of course. But I first want to talk about how you came to write the book, and I think this is a very interesting story. I've heard you tell it, but I know the listeners would be interested in that.
Well, thank you, Eric. You know, it goes back about 3 years ago. Our station, Q90 FM, has been sponsor of a Christian rock event called Life Fest. And we were actually a title sponsor early on. And about 3.5 years ago, I got a call from a pastor saying, tell me you're not going to be sponsoring Life Fest this year with Jim Wallace as the chief speaker. And I'm kind of sheepish to admit this now, but I said, well, who in the world is Jim Wallace? And the pastor sent me some links, and I started looking into Jim Wallace and Sojourners. And our board, over a three-week period of meeting with the people from Life Promotions one-on-one, came to the realization that Jim Wallace was not the person we wanted speaking to our youth about Christianity. As your audience probably knows, Jim Wallace is the head of Sojourners and very much a progressive social justice person. So we had to take a very, very difficult stance. We thought it would be kind of a one-and-done thing, but the next thing you knew, our statement on our website was being read by Glenn Beck on his national radio show, and it caused a furor. Well, push comes to shove, and to make a long story short, Eric, we started doing a show 6 months later called Stand Up for the Truth, and we've been blessed to have you on the show several times, and we love it. But what we're finding out there, Eric, right now is a real hunger for God's Word, and unfortunately, in our churches, on Christian radio, and on Christian television, the Word of God is being diminished and the ways of man are being put forward. But we're finding, as you are, just around the world, people who are hungry for the truth of God's Word, as they see their lives start to disintegrate around them, the economy, morality, the social structures of our nation and the world are all changing rapidly, but that remnant of people who know Jesus' voice and are hungry for his word are getting excited about what the Lord is going to be doing in these days that many of us view as very perilous ahead of us. So it's been exciting. It's been challenging, as you well know. But I tell you, there's that growing remnant here in America in particular that wants to return to the truth of God's word and see what he has to say about these very exciting days.
You know, that that word remnant is a word that a lot of us are using a lot these days as we recognize what's going on around us. And I know that there are people in the church that believe that whenever you talk about the end times, it's all a bunch of doom and gloom. I appreciate the idea that really God loves us so much, he gave us prophecy as a gift, that we would understand what's going on in these days, that we would, that the church who really was his church would know and understand the times that we live in. And so I think it's important that we're able to point out what's happening around us and how these things do work together prophetically. But it is on the outside scale a sad day for American Christianity. And that's kind of the title of your book, The Suicide of American Christianity, is Mike's book. I really encourage you to read it, folks. Jan Markell and I have both said that that book is literally encapsulates everything that we have talked about throughout the entire time of our ministry. So, Mike, without even having a relationship with you, you're seeing the same things that we're seeing and really saying the same things that we've been saying and that Jan and I have both been saying on our programs and as we speak live and so on. And you're doing the same thing. And this is exactly what we need. We need more voices speaking out about these things in this perilous time. I want to go back to the Jim Wallace story real quick, because you went on to actually interview him, or should I say debate him, and give us a little capsule of that too.
Well, when we talked to the people at Life Promotions and expressed our concerns, my friend at Life Promotions said, well, will you at least talk to Jim Wallace? I said, sure. So I had 2 one-hour conversations with Mr. Wallace. The first one on a Monday was pretty benign. We were talking about religion as a whole, Christianity as a whole. But, you know, in my spirit, I just didn't feel right about this whole thing. Well, the day before we had to make our decision, my cell phone rang at 5:30 here in my office, and it was Jim Wallace. And I answered the phone. I said, yeah, Jim, what's up? And he just started ripping into me, telling me I was a right-wing Kool-Aid drinker and that I was trying to silence the progressive Christian voice in this nation by boycotting him coming forward. And it was really interesting. Eric, I'm a fighter, and sometimes I fight without thinking. But at this time, I felt a great peace from the Holy Spirit as Mr. Wallace was rambling and ranting and raving at me. And I said, Jim, let's get back to the issue here. My concern is you're not truly a Christian organization. I said, on your Sojourner's website, you list global warming and the Gulf oil spill and economic inequality as sins, but you don't mention anything about homosexuality or abortion. So I asked him three times if he believed abortion was a sin, and he would not answer. Well, then I went to the issue of homosexuality, and I said three times, Jim, do you believe homosexuality is a sin? And he would not answer. And all this time, I just felt this anger from him, because he thought we were trying to, again, suppress his free speech, which is not what we were trying to do. We were trying to figure out if this organization was proper to bring in front of young Christians, some as young as 7 and 8 years old, when he did not have the right gospel he was going to be presenting. But I tell you, Eric, where it really turned interesting for me was as we were debating these issues facing our nation and the world and the church, I said, Jim, I suppose you're all into this global warming thing. And he said to me, and this is an exact quote I mentioned in my book, he said, absolutely, we must have a pristine planet before Jesus can return. And it stopped me right in my tracks, and I said, well, Jim, obviously we're reading different Bibles, because when I read the great prophetic books of the Bible, including Revelation, I don't see a pristine planet that man creates. I see no flesh would be spared if the Son of God did not return at the appointed time. I saw wars, rumors of war, famine, pestilence, but it led me to conclude that Jim Wallace, like so many in the evangelical movement these days, Eric, are what I call left-wing dominionists. They believe we can usher in love and peace and prosperity into this world, and then when man accomplishes that, Jesus just kind of comes back and the world's in perfect order, and he just reigns without having to, unfortunately, let many go there to their eternal demise in hell. So it's just a very dangerous theology that's taken over much of the evangelical church and many of the traditional denominations in Christianity.
Yeah, you're right. And certainly more than half of those who would claim the word evangelical as their descriptor are into dominionism or Kingdom Now theology, and it is a dangerous theology. It literally disregards about a third of the Bible, which of course is Bible prophecy, and this is a concern to a lot of us that this is going on. So, you know, again, I want to frame this, folks. You have to understand that Jim Wallace from Sojourners, probably one of the most left-wing people that you're going to have that claim to be a Christian, let alone an evangelical, also an Obama advisor. I mean, we look at this and we understand that that these folks have decided that they want to reframe Christianity, and of course they want to push anybody who believes the Bible from cover to cover, like Mike and I do. They want to frame us as if we are some kind of kooky cult. And in the end, and I've been saying this, Mike, I think in the end, we will be deemed as a cult by people who claim to be evangelicals around us. That's where it's coming to. So, you know, that's the remnant. That's what happens when you say you believe the word of God above the wisdom of man. And this is what it comes down to. These guys, the left-wing liberals inside the church, many claiming to be evangelicals, they are also, of course, claiming all of the wisdom of man higher than the wisdom of God.
Well, they are, Eric, and you know, I completely agree with you, my friend. We're going to be looked at as the cultists and the nuts one day, and that day is rapidly approaching. But it even goes beyond a left-wing problem, because on the extreme right side of Christianity, you've got the right-wing dominionists who also believe we can take over the world, the Seven Mountain Movement, where we take over government and politics and the media and schools. And all of this really goes back to, I believe, the Tower of Babel, where man comes together and thinks he can accomplish much without God. So it's really not even just a left-wing movement. There's a severe right-wing movement in Christianity that just has a different method to bring in dominionism forward, but they ultimately have the same goal.
Yeah, it really is the same goal. You're exactly right. And that's those are the guys that may affect some of the people that might want to listen to what we have to say, that might affect them to swing that direction more. It wouldn't necessarily be those who are pushing the gay agenda, homosexual marriage, abortion, those kind of things, the Jim Wallaces of the world, but it's the others. So it's just not the emergence. It's also the people on the extreme right side. But you know what it comes back to, and I say this so often, you know, it's like a broken record, and I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say this to you. It comes back to a disregard of the Word of God, and that is the problem right there.
Oh, Eric, you're exactly right, because on the left, and more prominent on the left, but even some on the right, whenever we want to avoid eschatology, and I don't understand, you know, the book of Daniel says when Daniel got this final vision, the angel said, This message was going to be sealed up until the end times and when it would be revealed. And when Israel came back as a nation in 1948, to me, the clock started ticking. We were kind of in the two-minute warning for this world. And why we would not turn to biblical prophecy, which has been 100% accurate for 6,000 years, and choose to avoid it these days, is just beyond me. But man will not be the final decider of how this world gets transformed. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All creation was by him, for him, and through him. And yet, on both sides of the spectrum here in Christianity, we have people who believe we can change the prophetic word of God. And the problem, as you know well, Eric, is we live in a Christian church here in America where people are basically biblically illiterate. And if they don't understand what the word of God says, they're going to be swayed very easily by people like Jim Wallace or Rick Joyner or whoever it might be.
Yeah, and this is why that some pastors won't preach from the book of Revelation, from the book of Daniel, any of the prophetic passages. They claim, we really can't understand it. We really can't know. Well, you know, Daniel, I think, makes an interesting point. In fact, Daniel makes many interesting points, doesn't he? But there's an interesting point that came to my attention recently. We were talking about this. A buddy of mine who's a part of the Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference, and that is a conference, an ongoing conference that they put on down there. And really good guy, very astute prophecy teacher, and he made the statement to me, you know, Daniel 12:4 talks about knowledge. Well, you know, I believe that says that God is going to give us more understanding of what his word says as time increases, as time goes on toward the end of the end days, and that's exactly what's going on. God has given us more insight about what his word really means, and a lot of people just don't want to hear about it. It would rock their boat. And I know the stuff that's in your book rocks a lot of people's boats. There are so many subchapters and chapter titles that we could talk about in your book, and it is a book that people need to read. And before we finish this first segment, Mike, I want to make sure we get the website where people can get the book. I know it's at Amazon, but give us a website where people can find the book and also hear you. You're on each morning on Q90 FM in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And tell us the website where folks can find all of that information.
Well, thank you, Eric. If they go to standupforthetruth.com, all one word, standupforthetruth.com, they can order the book there through Amazon. If they want personalized copies, they can contact me through there. But then also see what Stand Up for the Truth is all about. We've been doing this weekdays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central. All of our shows are available by podcast on the website. And I think you'll find the website to have some invaluable information on the various movements that seem to be infecting Christianity these days.
Well, I'll echo that too. And we have it linked to our website. It'll also be linked to this podcast on our website. And again, the book is called The Suicide of American Christianity, Drinking the Kool-Aid of Secular Humanism. I'm talking, folks, to Mike LeMay, and this is Take a Stand Radio. This is Eric Barger, your host. And I just want to give a few of the chapter titles, Mike, and then I'm just going to turn you loose, brother. And I know there's a couple things you want to talk about in particular, but if there's any of these that you want to get into as I go down through them, we'll do that too. Awakening out of a deep spiritual sleep, chapter number one. Number two, duties of a watchman. Number three, the rise and fall of a nation under God.
Well, Eric, let's start with awakening out of a deep spiritual sleep. It's really kind of my personal story of how I became a watchman. I was just like 90% of Christians out there, just thinking I'd given my life to Jesus Christ. I didn't have to worry about the world around me. But the whole Jim Wallace story really, really brought to my attention the subversive movements within Christianity itself that were letting, if you will, giving the enemy a foothold in our church. And the duties of the watchman, and I know this is something that's very, very near and dear to your and my heart. You know, we can be watchmen that spew hatred, but that's not a biblical watchman. A watchman, when he points out an error of a movement or an individual, never does it to destroy that individual or to prove that you're more right than him. We do it to restore. So when we talk about some of the leaders in Christianity in America, I am very, very, very slow, Eric, as you are, to put out that word heretic. I think we have to be careful with that. I think, however, when we point out error in a Rick Warren or a Bill Hybels or whomever, it's not to destroy, it's not to demean, it's to point out error in hopes of correcting. So that duty of a watchman, to me, there are watchmen out there who are vicious, and we have to be careful, because if we start getting vicious and having hatred and anger in our heart, we're no longer operating in the Holy Spirit. We're operating in a totally different spirit that we should have nothing to do with.
Boy, you're ringing my bell, and you and I have talked about this off air as well. You know, it wasn't too long ago, in the last few weeks, I tweeted something that I think is important here. I said, if the apologist's heart isn't motivated by love and a spirit of correction, then his mission is really to prove himself the only authority. You know, this isn't about us just trying to prove how right we are and how wrong somebody else is. So when Mike or I or some of the other, what I think are balanced and good discerners who are out there, are speaking about somebody inside the church, it's not because we just want to bash them. We want to warn the sheep, but it's not about us being right. It's just not trying to prove our point to make ourselves the only authority. It's about trying to bring correction, and it's a motivation of love, because we love people enough to be able to try to bring them back to the truth. That is where my heart is, to try to bring people back to the truth. And that's what Stand Up for the Truth, that's what your radio show is all about. That's what Take a Stand Ministry is all about. You notice how we have the word stand in both those ministries, you know. So that's this is all about.
It really is, Eric. And again, we also, as watchmen, need to hold ourselves to the same standards we hold everyone else. And I know you do this, not our radio show. Amy and I do this every day. We say, don't take anything we tell you today as gospel. You know, it always strikes me as amazing that the Bereans hear Paul, the great apostle Paul, to the Gentiles, is preaching to them, and the Bereans in Acts 17 said, we'll get back to you on that, Paul. And they went and searched the scriptures. And whether I tell people, whether it's your pastor, whether it's Mike LeMay, Eric Barger, whomever you hear, you must take everything you hear and hold it to the Word of God. And if it conflicts with the Word of God, then it ceases to be truth. It's so important we do that these days.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Once again, folks, this is Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio, listening to Mike LeMay, my guest today, about his book, The Suicide of American Christianity. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Eric Barger and Take a Stand Radio. Stay tuned for more. On what is America founded? Why is it important? America is truly at a crossroads, and as Eric Barger's new seminar DVD, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of America, points out, if we don't understand our past, what will our future be built on? Full of powerful visuals, inspirational quotes, and laced with many scriptures, Eric outlines the foundation of America and helps viewers understand both our dilemma and our responsibility. To order The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of America, visit our online store at ericbarger.com or call 214-289-5244. And remember, your purchase helps to support the outreach of Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries.
All right, well, we're talking again with Mike LeMay. He is the station manager and a talk show host at Q90 FM in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He's also an author and a good friend, a good buddy. He wrote a book called The Suicide of American Christianity, and we're talking about that today. It's a book I highly recommend. Mike, again, I appreciate you being with me, brother, and we just want to continue down through some of these chapter titles. I look at the chapter title, The Rise and Fall of a Nation Under God. You think about that. Think about what's happened in America. You have a subtitle here, I guess it's okay to be gay. I mean, these are things that the church has strayed away from. We don't want to talk about these things in the pulpit. They're looked at as divisive, yet they're things the Scripture speaks so directly about. What do you say to somebody when they say you're just trying to cause confusion among the ranks? We want to bring people together. Why can't we all just love each other?
Well, I'll tell you, Eric, later in the book when I talk about leadership, too, I said, you know, one thing that followers should demand of their church leaders and their political leaders is clarity, not confusion. And you look back at our nation was established primarily by men who believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and believed the Word of God was truth. Now, there were some deists in there, no doubt, but the majority of them basically said, God, please bless our country as we dedicate ourselves to you. And for almost 200 years, boy, the Lord was true, and he built America up to the status of a superpower. But in 1973, all of a sudden, seven Supreme Court justices somehow found a right to privacy in the Constitution that gave a woman the right to kill a child in her womb. And since that time, 1973, it has been one court decision after another of turning away from God. And we stand on the precipice right now of possibly by June of 2013, the United States Supreme Court finding homosexual marriage to be a federally protected right. And when that happens, and I believe it will happen, Eric, everything is going to change for the landscape of the church in the United States of America. When our nation was founded, our founding fathers turned to our church leaders and said, hold us accountable, government and people. And we did a pretty good job for 200 years. But since about 1973, the church has failed to speak up, has failed to be God's instrument of morality and judgment in this nation, and is really, even worse than that, now adopted ways of human secularism, secular humanism, and bringing it back into the church. And we're seeing, at the same time, the United States of America going through decay, at the same time we're seeing the Christian church in America go through decay. And I don't think you can separate those as two separate instances. I think they go hand in glove.
Yeah, they do. And you've heard me give the presentation, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of America, and I had it recently on the air here on Take a Stand Radio. And I go through a kind of a laundry list of what's taken place in the last 50, 60 years. I'll be 62 this March coming up. And so if you go back to 1962, for example, and that's, well, let's see, where we are, 51 years ago, back 1962. From that point on, and that was, of course, the year that the Supreme Court struck down the idea of being able to pray in school for our children. From that point on, you take a look at the destruction that's going on, the dismay that's happened in America, the theological decline that's gone on, with teen pregnancy, 700% rise, STDs going from six of them, six sexually transmitted diseases, to now over 50 with several that you can't be cured of. You take a look at what's happened to us. If we can't see that the judgment is beginning to fall upon us, that the hand of God is lifting off of us, his protection lifting off of us, then I simply don't know what to say. I mean, if you just take a look at history, the problem is we don't look at history that way. We look at history as what happened yesterday, what's happening today, and we care not about to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's where we are in this soundbite generation that we're in today.
Eric, you are so right. We suffer from a lack of strategic vision, not only politically, but spiritually in this nation. Those who do not understand history are doomed to repeat history. And politically, the reason we're in the trouble we're in with $16 trillion in debt, a lack of strategic thinking. Spiritually, the reason we're in a tough condition as a church, a lack of spiritual thinking. We are a soundbite generation. We have no concept of the past, how it's led us to where we are, and what the ultimate ramifications of decisions we've made in the past and today will be. And when you look at the Word of God, specifically His prophetic Word, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He transcends time. He's given us everything in His Word we need to know to be cautious about not only where the church is going, but where our nation's going. But nowadays, we lack such strategic vision and thinking in leadership politically, economically, and spiritually. And we're going to look back sadly one day, and it may not be too long from now, when we're going to look back and say, how in the world did it come to this? But we'll have no one to blame but ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, the Word of God, folks, is the most important thing we can ever read. It's the most important thing we can ever hide in our hearts, more important than any educational material the world will ever produce. The Word of God goes on eternally. But we do need to understand what's happened, that we can then turn the future back around, that we can give our children, our grandchildren, a country and a place to live where the Word of God can then be lifted up and truthfully expound upon. And that's the problem that's going on. And as you point out with the Supreme Court and what may happen this year with gay marriage, that's really going to be a game changer. It's going to turn things in a direction. It will probably make it illegal for you and I to speak as we are right now. At least this is the perception of it. Of course, if you look at the edicts that have been passed by the United Nations, that's already the direction they're going in. But certainly we have leadership in our country today that want to take us that same direction. You know, Mike, I want to talk about it. Actually, three of the chapters in the middle of your book, The Suicide of American Christianity. And once again, folks, you can find Mike at standupforthetruth.com. standupforthetruth.com, and of course his book is also available on Amazon as well. But the three chapters, Satan's Pawns, The Eternal Pawns of the Enemy, and The Demise of Christian Leadership. I think those are three really important chapters. The first one, you talk some about Oprah, you talk about the entertainment world that we're in today, about the music world, about those things that are affecting us. The next one, you talk about the emergent church, and of course, we've covered that a lot, something that you and I believe is very important we should speak up about. And by the way, many emergents are now abandoning the word emergent right and left because they've been found out. They have a title on them that they know is a negative to many people. And whether it's called emergent or something else, folks, you got to be able to recognize emergent philosophy or New Age philosophy when it comes along. And the third one, the third chapter here, which is actually chapter number 7, The Demise of Christian Leadership. You know, I know that's something you want to talk about, Mike. I want to turn you loose because I think what you have to say about this is so very important.
With Satan's Pawns, what I mentioned here again, let's go back to strategic thinking. Satan is more powerful than us as humans. He's smarter than us. He has experience. He's been around since God created the world, for goodness sakes. He is strategic in his thinking. So what he first started doing back in the 19th century, 18th and 19th century, was undermining science. You know, Charles Darwin came along and all of a sudden brought the question of, well, maybe God didn't create all things. Maybe we evolved from slime. It reached into public education, where nowadays our public education system is no longer public education. It's public indoctrination. And you look at the National Education Association, its goal is to not only kick God out of schools, but obliterate God from the minds of our children. So you look at how Satan thinks and acts strategically. He's a chess player, and we have not, because we're not knowledgeable of God's words, we have not seen how Satan has moved his chess pieces in place to where he's got the human race to where he thinks he's going to be able to call checkmate. And now you look here in the last 50 to 60 years in particular, how the church has quit strategically thinking. And in a what I write in my book is, with a well-intentioned heart, we've wanted to reach the lost. Heaven's sakes, that's our great commission, to make disciples of all nations. But, you know, we've done it by dumbing down the gospel. We've done it by not wanting to offend people, but instead tickling their ears, just like our political leaders. How many men in Washington, D.C., or women in Washington, D.C., are really willing to stand up and say what we're going through right now is financial suicide? No, because that message won't get them reelected. So just like in our political leaders, these internal pawns of Satan have come into the church through emergent theology, through social justice causes, and we are more interested in tickling the ears of people in church these days than we are speaking the bold, unabashed truth of God's word. And on leadership, Eric, and you'll get me going, and I'll never shut up, so let me try to be brief. I ask a very important question, I think, in the book, and let me set it up this way. Every movement has two sets of people, leaders and followers. You know, that's basic 101 leadership. The question I ask in the book, however, is, does inept leadership create self-centered followers, or do self-centered followers create inept leadership? So in other words, do we blame our religious leaders, or do we blame ourselves? I say we blame ourselves, because politically, socially, and spiritually right now, we want to follow the man or woman who tells us how wonderful we are, who tells us how wonderful things are going to be. We do not want to follow the political or spiritual leader who tells us we're headed over a spiritual or financial cliff. We vote for the guy politically who tells us things are going to be great and there's no pain ahead of us, and we follow spiritually the pastor who tells us how much God loves us but never brings into call God's call of accountability and responsibility in our lives. How many times do we hear anymore, pick up your cross or die daily to your flesh or take on Jesus' yoke? We don't hear those things because we don't want to hear those things. So we can blame the Rick Warrens of the world or the Bill Hybels of the world or the Jim Wallaces of the world, but in reality, those are the people we want to follow these days. So it doesn't begin with a change in leadership. It begins with a change in heart of those of us who follow these people, who say we are no longer going to follow these people. We're going to follow God and his 100% absolute truth word. Until we as followers change our heart, repent, and decide to follow Jesus, not man, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, and that brings me back to something I said in the first segment too, Mike, and it's, again, one of the just the common barometers I keep bringing up in our ministry. It comes back to the church deciding the Word of God is more important than anything else. We have a decapitated gospel in many places being taught. Obviously, we have the gospel of love. We have a gospel that God is only a God of love, and He's never a God of judgment. Of course, if He's only a God of love, then He's not the God that we see represented in the Bible. He's both. He's a God of love and a God of judgment. He loves us so much He sent Jesus that we would have a way out. But He's a God that demands justice against our sins. And of course, this is what's happening. I think that the atmosphere was just ripe for the gospels such as being presented by Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and how many others we could talk about, Bill Hybels. Partial gospels, they certainly aren't full of all demonic stuff. I mean, nobody listened to that. They have a lot of good things attached to them, and yet it's not the whole gospel. And I think maybe the thing that's really concerned me is so often in an effort to try to attract people, to bring people in the church, we have decided that bringing in a financial seminar or a marriage seminar or whatever is a good idea, and we bring it in, and those things are okay. They're fine by themselves, but don't slap a scripture on it and claim it's the gospel somehow. And that's a common statement I've made over and over, too, but I think folks need to hear that again and again. Just because something is couched in Christian veneer doesn't necessarily mean the gospel's attached. It is the task and job of the church to preach the unadulterated gospel that can convert people from sinfulness into Christ, to let Christ then carry their sins, to let them be saved by His power, by His blood. And if we're not presenting that gospel, we are really failing in our mission. And I look around the evangelical church today, and sadly, I see us failing in great part about that mission. And you know, it's a tough thing for the pastor today, Mike, and you and I talk to pastors all the time. I know that you know exactly what I mean when I say this. It's tough for them because the pastor who wants to preach the truth, who is dedicated to preach the Word of God, he realizes that the great opposition he's going to face, because there are churches all around him, up and down the streets of his community, who are preaching a gospel that is easy, an easy gospel, a self-serving gospel, one that people will, quote, want to hear, but isn't the whole truth, yet it's claiming to be Christianity. So when he preaches the truth on a Sunday morning, and then people decide they want to go down the street to the next church because what he preached on that Sunday was too hard for them, they hear a gospel that's easy for them, they accept that gospel, they go to that church, and that's what happens. He has all this competition out there from what really amounts to a false gospel being preached in our churches, yet claiming to be Christian, even evangelical.
Boy, Eric, you absolutely nailed it. The pressure on our pastors these days, if they speak about adultery being sin and how men must become sexually pure, and their biggest tither has a girlfriend on the side, and he goes to the elders and says, well, I think that message was a little harsh, you know, never confessing his sin, but just saying, I think that message is a little harsh, you know what's going to happen next. The elders are going to go to the pastors and say, you know, Jim Bob over there, our biggest donor, boy, he's just uncomfortable with the message you're giving. We have sold ourselves into bondage over nickels and noses. Definition of success in the church has changed from transformed lives to how many people are here on Sunday and how much was in the collection plate. And as Jesus warned us, and he warned us severely, no man can serve two masters, God and money, because he will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. Now, I know our pastors, at least the ones I know, love the Lord their God, but unconsciously, we have allowed mammon to become a god in our church. And definition to be, or success to be defined as, gee, I had 346 people and had $9,300 in the collection plate. Nowhere in God's word do numbers or money equate with spiritual success. Yet that seems to be the blueprint of American Christianity. And one thing I point out in my book, Eric, is people have said to me, well, why don't the elders at Saddleback stand up and talk to Rick Warren? I said, let me tell you why it won't happen. If they go to Rick Warren and say, Rick, we need you to focus on the gospel, Rick will say, well, I'll just go open shop across the street. And 90% of the people will go with Rick to the new church. Now, that isn't to excuse the elders. The elders have a very strong biblical calling to make sure the pastor and the sheep are nurturing on the Word of God. But when you define success as nickels and noses, you get yourself in a peck of trouble that's very, very difficult to get out of.
That's well put. And, you know, we know that when Rick Warren founded Saddleback, he took a poll of that community to find out what kind of church they wanted. And that's dangerous in itself. We're not to ask people what kind of church they want. We're to go to the Word of God and see what God wants us to do as leaders. What kind of church we have is dependent on the Word of God, not upon what people want around us. If you ask people what they like or what they'll come to, my gracious, you can draw a crowd with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the Word of God that are anti-biblical, actually. And that's what we see happening.
Oh, and Eric, you know how easily it can slip into any of our hearts. About 6 months ago, I made a statement. My wife serves on our praise and worship team at our church, and I made a comment to her on Saturday night. I said, you know, I'm just not big into corporate worship. The singing stuff, it doesn't do anything for me. Well, the next morning, I'm in our church service, and our worship leader says, everyone stand. And I felt the Lord tell me, Mike, kneel. And I fell to my knees, and I felt the Lord. You know, you hear the Lord's voice, you feel the Lord's voice, whatever. But I heard and felt him say, since when has worship been about you and not me? And I felt so humbled and convicted in my heart because I had fallen into the trap that, well, corporate worship doesn't do it for me, therefore I'm going to go at it half-hearted. But boy, it's so easy for us to make church about us instead of about the risen Christ. And it's just a sickness that every one of us as Christians need to guard our hearts because none of us are above Satan's temptations.
Oh, that's it. That's it. And I'm glad you repented that morning, because if you hadn't, I was going to ask you to do it right now, brother. So,
boy, I tell you, the Lord made it very, very clear to me that praise and worship is all about him and nothing about Mike LeMay, what he wants or desires.
Can I say that that's exactly the truth about the church in general? It's not about what have you done for me lately. That's not what church is all about. It's not for us. It's about God. And it's coming together that we gain strength from, of course, from the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, from corporate worship, from our individual worship to God. But coming together in church is about us getting ready to go out and make a difference in a lost and dying world. And I think people have a misconception about it. You know, we think that this is about, coming together to find out how to be a better salesman or something. That's not what this is all about. The church is about us being strengthened by the Holy Spirit to be watchmen and to be vocal spokesmen in a lost and a dying culture around us. And the sad thing about it is, and you point this out in chapter 11 of your book, and once again, folks, this is Eric Barger. I'm talking to Mike LeMay. He's the author of The Suicide of American Christianity. You can find Mike at standingupforthetruth.com, standingupforthetruth.com. I encourage you to go there and get his book and get all his materials and his daily podcast. But, Mike, back to chapter 11 here, the spiritual abuse of our children. This stuff is being passed down in our Bible colleges today. This is what the next generation of pastor is going to be told is successful Christianity. To do the very things that you and I are warning about today is exactly what's being taught and being emulated by those who are leading and teaching in our Bible colleges today.
It's so true, Eric, and it's not even just at the college level. I had a young lady who, or a mother who listened to our show, and a year ago she called me after a show and said, hey, do you know about the book called The Irresistible Revolution? I said, yeah, Jim Wallis and Shane Claiborne. Why? Her youth pastor for her son sent every one of their 38 kids home with that book and said, this will be our Bible study the next 6 months. And I said, you don't want your child using this book as a Bible study. It is left-wing social, human social gospel propaganda. Well, she ended up going back to the senior pastor. Senior pastor had no idea that this book was passed out to the children. Now, to give the senior pastor credit, when he read the book, he called the youth pastor on the carpet and made him take the books back. But so it's happening in our churches where many of our young youth pastors have been raised in this emergent theology, which said God is more about a feeling than a fact. You know, he's not his written word. He's not what he says in his word. It's what you feel in your heart. But you're absolutely right. Then we get to our Christian colleges like Fuller. Fuller no longer believes the Word of God is absolute truth. Wheaton College in Illinois, long a stronghold of biblical teaching, has a man, and I talk about this in my book, on staff who said this. He's a teacher who said this, quote, homosexuality was a great gift God gave me. I would be insulting him to give it back to him. So we have to understand our youth leaders that are coming out of Bible colleges today are being trained up in an unbiblical way, and they're learning ways of humanism, again, that God is a feeling. What do you feel versus God is who he says he is in his word? So even sending your children to Christian school these days, I tell parents all the time, you know, it may or may not be a Christian school. You need to investigate. You need to go onto Facebook. You need to see what these teachers believe. You need to see what the calling of the school is, whether it's a high school or a college. Don't just assume because it's got the word Christian on it that your children are going to be taught of the Word of God, because there's a pretty good chance they're not going to hear from the Word of God too much in their curriculum.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we send our grandchildren to a Christian school, and because my daughter had open heart surgery several years ago and doesn't work or can't work now, we are helping to pay for that. And I'm constantly tuned in to what those kids are bringing home and what kind of books they're bringing home, what kind of curriculum they have. Why should we spend the kind of money that we spend on Christian education and then be fooled into a daze or maybe a complacency about it and think everything might be all right there? When you look around the church today and you see the shape the church is in, this stuff could be in any Christian school on any level. And you know, you were talking about the youth pastor there a while ago, and I want to comment on that. It makes you wonder where he was educated, what he's thinking, and even if the book that that you mentioned by Jim Wallace and Claiborne, if that book was pulled, what was he thinking in allowing that book in and wanting to promote it by giving a copy to every one of his kids in the first place? I would immediately be questioning his credentials to be a youth pastor to my children if that was the case. And, you know, I know those are fighting words for a lot of people. I recognize that. And you and I are not sitting here trying to say how perfect we are, how right we are, and how wrong everybody else is. We're pointing out what's happening around us. And there needs to be a spiritual revolution, talking about revolution. There needs to be a revolution inside the church coming back to the Word of God, pointing back to the Word of God. This thing isn't over yet. I'm not sure that God is done with America yet. And the trumpet call hasn't sounded across heaven. We're never called just to lay down and be complacent and give up. We're called to continue to make a difference wherever we can. And I certainly hope that people are hearing what we're saying today.
You're listening to Take a Stand Radio. Radio with your host, Eric Barger. Tell a friend, and remember, for more, just visit ericbarger.com or join Eric on Facebook and Twitter. Better yet, stay completely informed on the go. Just download our free mobile app for Android, iPhone, iPad, or iPod. Stay tuned. Eric Barger will be right back with more of this week's edition of Take a Stand Radio. We've all heard the interviews, we've read the news reports, and we've probably encountered the missionaries at our doorstep. Now, after 30 years of research and study, Eric Barger's latest DVD addresses the daunting question, are Mormons Christians? In this biblical comparison of Mormonism and Christianity, Eric explores the beliefs and practices of Mormonism, cutting through the rhetoric and decisively answering the title question, are Mormons Christians? Included is an overview of Mormon history, the accuracy of Mormon prophets and prophecies, the Mormon version of Jesus versus the biblical Jesus, the Mormon claim that man can become a god, and what Mormonism teaches about good works and salvation. Finally, Eric Barger lovingly discusses the real question, is Mormonism compatible with Christianity, and can the beliefs of the LDS Church redeem men's souls? Over an hour in length and packed with many visuals, quotes, and scriptures, this DVD will challenge both Mormons and Christians to examine what they believe and why they believe it. Order your copy of Eric Barger's new DVD, Are Mormons Christians?, by visiting our online store at ericbarger.com or by calling 214-289-5244.
Folks, we are talking again with Mike LeMay. He is the author of The Suicide of American Christianity. You can find Mike once again at standupforthetruth.com, standupforthetruth.com. Mike, draw this together a little bit for us here in the closing minutes. Do you have a closing comment you'd like to make?
Well, Eric, I'd just like to echo what you just said. This is not over. If God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous men, he will spare this nation if enough righteous men and women turn to him. And, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. So if this great nation of ours is going to survive, it is going to take a spiritual revival within American Christianity to do it. We don't have to wait for our leaders to do it. We as individual people, if enough of us will turn towards the righteousness of God and the truth of his word and start living our lives daily, picking up our cross and pursuing holiness through the Holy Spirit. I do believe God is not done with this nation yet. Does it look bright out there? No, and the reason I say that is, how many of us truly are willing to humble ourselves anymore? And again, it's not over. If God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous men, he will spare this nation if enough of us humble ourselves, repent of our ways, and turn to him. And let's say, Eric, let's say it is over for this nation. We have the eternal hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. No matter what happens to us around the world, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ has secured eternal life with him. So no matter how bleak things get, we should always be joyful because of we need to look eternally instead of to ways of this world. There is nothing that should cause us to feel panic or worry no matter how bad things get here. We have that blessed eternal hope, and we need to start living like we know that that hope is real.
Yeah, we certainly do. And you know, the one thing that that's always struck me is that many of the discerners, many of the people I know like you and I who talk about these issues, we are some of the most positive and joyous people. I mean, I know you away from the microphone, and you're a wonderful, upbeat, positive guy. And folks, it's not doom and gloom to point out the problems. We've got to point out what's happening around us and try to point people back to the truth. Because as Mike just said, hey, it's us that win in the end. It's us that are in heaven. It's us that are guaranteed eternal life with God the Father through Jesus the Son. And that's what could we be discouraged about? If Paul said, If God is with us, who could be against us? And I think that's the bottom line to our lives, and that's the way we've got to think. Yet we continue to fight and hold up a standard of truth, and it won't be popular, but certainly something that we encourage you to do, everybody. And again, we've been talking today with Mike LeMay, who is the station manager and a talk show host at Q90 FM in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I encourage you to get his podcast each day. Mike, your tweets are also exquisite. I love reading what you put out each day, and encourage folks to get that information. Go to Mike's website, standupforthetruth.com. Get his book, The Suicide of American Christianity. Mike, thanks for giving up the time for us today to kind of spotlight this information. This is important stuff, and I'm glad you're here to be another voice on it, brother.
Eric, it's an honor to stand at your side and fight for the truth of God's word. And folks, never give up, never surrender. The Lord our God is victorious. So have joy. No matter what the world does, have joy in your heart.
Great words.
This program is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and is completely funded by the gifts of our friends and supporters. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation, or better yet, a monthly pledge to support the work of Take a Stand Radio. Your gifts, large or small, are appreciated and needed. Remember, our mission is to see the lost saved and the church changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Eric Barger enters his 30th year of discernment and apologetics ministry, we invite you to join with us.
You can write to me at Eric Barger, Take a Stand Ministries, P.O. Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Call our office at 214-289-5244 or find me on the internet at ericbarger.com. I appreciate you joining me today, folks. I'll talk to you again next week.